So, hello, Malk.
Hello, John.
Tea.
Yeah, mine too. I hope
Welcome
yours is up to standard.
Zoom Coffee.
Indeed.
So we're going to chat for a little while about different things, and I've got this whole question of what we might learn from us about ourselves as we're in lockdown. Obviously it's different, and other times we're kind of just getting on with things, but we're in lockdown. What and Give us time to think about ourselves. What might we learn about ourselves as pastors? Do you want to just
Yeah, well, we've entered a very strange world, haven't we, John? And we are, for one thing, we're bombarded by this new technology with regard to communications and so on. And it's pretty overwhelming, isn't it? Some of us are feeling pretty shattered by the challenge of it all. I guess you have too, to some extent.
steep learning curve.
Steep learning curve.
I'm going to ask a few questions, see what your response is. First
Okay.
of all, so in this kind of new strange situation, are pastors, are we finding that actually shut away, we like our books rather than our people?
I'm sure that can happen, John. Yeah, naturally, we like to play to our strengths as well. And if we've got a bit of an inclination towards scholarship and study, this can be a bit of a cop out, can't it? An
It
opportunity
certainly
to
can. And I mean, I was looking at 1 Thessalonians recently, and just the pictures of Paul in a church planting situation, yes, but there is that picture of Paul, the mother to the church and the father to the church. And obviously there's a a big picture of a pastor being intimately loving and involved with his people. And that's a, are we that kind of person, or are we just a kind of frustrating academic who wants to be in the study?
Yeah, well, we need to know our strengths and weaknesses at a personal level, don't we? Some people are naturally gregarious, and other people, they're naturally isolationist. And in a way, you've got to constantly battle against those two extremes, haven't you? You've got to know yourself. So if your natural inclination is to hide in the study and just to plow through all these great tomes and so on, this can be an excuse to do that. But if you are a more gregarious person, you're going to be always zooming everybody on the planet and talking to your friends online hour after hour, aren't you? And finding the latest gadgetry. I do worry about technology because it can be very addictive.
I mean, I think sometimes it's set up to be addictive.
I think it is. I also think there are pitfalls too. Pastors are vulnerable to some extent. Who knows what's out there that's only one sort of click away, as it were.
Oh yeah, but that's
That's
another
another
topic
one.
altogether.
All
I
right.
don't want to go
Anyway,
there. But
watch
no,
this
I.
space, though.
So it may be that some pastors may look at themselves and say, actually, I'm feeling I really like this lockdown because I like just being with my books. But actually, that's a challenge to them to say, hold on, I need to be a better pastor, I need to be a better people person. So that's
Yeah.
if I'm going to be
Yeah.
a pastor. So that's one challenge. A second question here is, some men, of course, are preaching online and looking at themselves online. Are we seeing preaching in a different light as we view ourselves on screen preaching?
Yeah, well, I've seen you in a different light because you've cut your head off by the screen. So you need to
Oh,
get a
sorry.
bit
There you are.
further back from the camera, boy.
There you are.
Anyway, but this is it. This is all the problem, isn't it? That we are not professional, filmmakers and so on. And it can be quite shocking to see yourself. I also think that we do need to sometimes be taken down a peg or two, and that comes to us in all sorts of mysterious ways. And one of them is to actually, I remember the first time I heard myself speaking on a tape recorder. It was bizarre. I thought, that's not me. And the same can be said about these sorts of things as well.
I suppose it might be an opportunity to sort out different mannerisms, some of them perhaps not very helpful.
Absolutely. Now I'm getting really self-conscious, John.
Do you have
So,
a mannerism?
well, I do think sometimes when we're nervous, we use our hands too much. We do. We're like some of these BBC people. They're so eager to thrust their message upon us that they're almost grabbing us by the collar. We mustn't do that.
Okay,
And people
so
are some, yeah.
I mean, and if a pastor found himself, I don't know, with some kind of mannerism, what does he do?
Well, he's in a way, he has to be careful he doesn't become so conscious of the mannerism that he adopts another mannerism, you know. It could go on ad nauseum, couldn't it?
Is it one of those situations where you ask your wife, what should I do?
I think it probably is. We could even go as far as to ask the children, because they might be watching us these days as well.
Yes, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. So there's a challenge about our, you know, are we really pastors concerned for people? There's a challenge about our mannerisms, etc., in preaching. Here's the third question. Are we distracted by internet opportunities and therefore not giving ourselves to proper study? It's kind of like the flip side of the coin of our first question.
Well, I think that we do have a unique opportunity to make up some of the gaps in our own reading and so on. We're all busy men. One of the problems of living in the 2020s is information overload. And I do think we've got to prioritize. I was in the garage the other day and I felt rather ashamed that my 3 volumes or 4 volumes of the works of Professor John Murray were actually in a bag in the garage. They shouldn't have been. They should have been on my table. So I'm going to dig them out and give the great man a go.
Yeah. I mean, I've personally been trying to read some things that I've kind of meant to read, you know, over the years, but haven't got round to. And I've actually got round to reading one or two of them. Actually, one of them is a very interesting book called The Christian Mind by Harry Blamires. He was almost a protege of C.S. Lewis. Mm. I don't think particularly an evangelical, but very, very interesting man. And perhaps we ought to commend that kind of thing to people that say, you know, here are books you know you ought to be reading, like John Murray's 4 volumes.
Yeah.
And, it's time to get them down.
Most of it's okay.
Okay.
But
anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we should pick some, get involved with some of the heavyweights. They are timeless, really. And even some of the older guys, you know, the bit of John Owen now and again.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, I think our coffee break is now finished. It's back to the books.
Yeah, good to see you, mate.
Bye.
Bye for now. Bye-bye.